Well, it's a new year. Oh my goodness. It's hard to believe that we're already at that point again. And some of the things that we're going to be talking about are actually very deeply related to this idea of starting afresh, starting a new year. And some of the things that we'll be talking about is how do we keep pressing on? So just by way of kind of thinking through this and maybe kind of opening up this topic that we'll be talking about, we've been talking through Philippians and we're continuing that on into this new year. And one of the things that happened to me last night, and I don't know if any of you ever struggle or have difficulty with, man, is what I'm doing right now, is it actually having any impact? Is it working? The things that I keep doing, is it doing what it's supposed to? And so if you've ever had a wonder about that, this message is going to be really tailored toward that. Last night, I was sitting down with kids. We were just reading through scripture together. That always happens in our home every evening, every moment of the day. No, I'm kidding. But something happened where I was talking to the kids about walking with Jesus, and what does this look like to pursue Christ and encouraging one another to pursue Christ? And one of the things that had a conversation with one of my kids afterwards is they were like, well, what are things that I can do to pursue Christ better? And I'm sitting there and I'm talking with them, and there's one thing that I didn't mention that I really wish I would have. So this is actually maybe just for them, but listen in. That so often, I think, in our walks with the Lord, I look back on my walk, and what my kids were wanting to know is, how do I have this passionate, vibrant walk with Jesus? And we read about different characters. We read about people like Paul. We read about other missionaries that go off, and they do these spectacular things, and they're going, how do I have this same thing? And as I was thinking through this, I gave a textbook answer. Well, here's like five things that you can start doing that will really help you in your walk. And not that they were bad things, but one of the things that I wish I would have talked about is this. I don't have it all together. And I don't always have it all figured out. But one thing that I keep doing is I keep going back to Scripture. I fail. I fall flat on my face and I don't do things well, but I get back up and I start walking again and I start pursuing Christ again. And it's messy. It doesn't always look nice, neat, and tidy. Sometimes I'm doing things and I'm going, man, I don't even know if this is even working. And I keep doing it. And I sometimes wonder, man, is it having any impact? Is it doing anything in my life? And that is this Christian walk. And Paul is getting ready to open up and he's going to talk to us about his personal journey. There's something spectacular that happened on his walk. And maybe to put it in relation to a story, I think so many times for so many of us, we have such a small view of Jesus. Maybe to put it in relationship to something that happened to me a while back. A while back, I went with my family. We went to Mexico and we were snorkeling. And so we get in the water and I'm like a fish. I love being in the water. And so we're swimming along and I'm with my brother-in-law. And next thing you know, we're working our way along the coral and I came over to the famous thing on Finding Nemo, the drop-off. And I was like, ooh. I look down and it's just inky black looking down. I'm like, I wonder how far down it goes. I have fins on. Let's go explore. Not one of my brighter moments. They also have sharks in these waters. And so off I go, swimming down as far as I can, and eventually this blackness starts giving way to lighter hues as the sand starts coming up and I reach the bottom. And I was like, wow, that was really cool. And then I stopped swimming, which then my body started to shift, and I'm looking out, and I see the sand disappearing off into the darkness, and I can't see anything around me. And a thought came to my head. I'm not in Kansas anymore. I look up, and I see some fish swimming around in these massive schools of large fish, and I go, you know what? There's probably a reason those guys are swimming together. And I'm all alone. I'm the only idiot swimming alone in these waters. And so as quick as I could muster, I swam back up and over onto the shelf and into the safety of the reef. I gained a new appreciation for how deep, how wide, how big the ocean really is. And I didn't want to stay down there. It scared me. And the reality of what Paul is going to be talking about in a different sense, but somewhat similar, Paul has this encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He encounters Jesus and he says, Paul, why are you persecuting me? He encounters Jesus and Jesus draws him to himself. And all of a sudden, Paul's view of God, just like me swimming down to the bottom of the ocean, kind of looking at the sandy floor and then looking out, Paul had this moment of going, oh, whoa, God, you are way bigger than I thought you were. I took you for granted. I knew a little bit, but oh man, this is how big you are. He has this encounter with Jesus Christ that he's then going to be talking to a group of people. And this isn't just about an one-time encounter. This is something that changes his life forever. And he's going to be giving us some instruction on what does this walk with God look like? What words of encouragement? How does this supposed to flesh out in our life? He's going to give us instruction in that. And so as we work our way into this passage, what we're going to do we have slides? I'm looking up at we do. Oh, we do. Good. They're just not back here. I cheat sometimes. If I could actually have Vandy. Come on up. Vandy's going to, every so often we've had people that are reading the passage of scripture for us. So if everyone could stand with me, Vandy is going to read for us this passage of scripture, follow along on the text. And we'll hear what the Word of God has to say.
Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Thank you. Go ahead and grab a seat. So it's a short passage of scripture that we're looking at this morning, but the significance of what we're trying to answer is this whole idea of pressing on. Paul has this concept that he's going to be talking to us about. And so we'll go ahead and go back to that slide for Philippians 3:12. Gia, there we go. Perfect. So as we start thinking through this, there's something that I want to really focus on this morning. What does it mean to press on? How do I press on? In those times and seasons in life when all of a sudden we hit moments where we're like, man, is anything working? Is this even worth it? Do I keep going on? Or maybe I need to turn to a different regime. Maybe there's something better. Maybe I miss something in this whole Christianity thing and I see other people that have these systems and maybe I need to turn to this system that will make me somehow a better person. What does Paul say? Well, how does he encourage us? And what is it that we're actually trying to pursue? And we'll try to answer some of those questions this morning. So one of the things that kind of in by way of looking back at what he's previously talked about, rather than being declared righteous by God because of Jesus' work on the cross through faith, Paul warns of people requiring circumcision and following the law to be more, somehow more before God. He has this warning that he issues. That's kind of where we are in chapter 3, that he says, listen, watch out for these people. They're going to come along and they're going to try to tell you, you need to do something more to be somehow more acceptable, more loved, more acceptable to God. And he's saying, listen, it's not through that. God intervened in Paul's life, revealed himself, helping him to see that being declared right with God wasn't about his own efforts or achievements, but something that came through faith in Jesus Christ. And so Paul has this dramatic shift in his view. Righteousness wasn't about boasting in his human effort. It's not something that can be earned. He now turns his eye to go, righteousness is something that is through Jesus alone, through faith alone. And that is a dramatic shift in his thinking. But that wasn't the end. Paul was embarking on a lifelong pursuit and an adventure. Salvation to Paul was about an open door to a world that he had never imagined. And he's now going to be describing that as we go along. So the first thing that he comes to it, he says, listen, not that I've already obtained this or already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. That idea after that, but I press on, is this concept that we're going to be talking about this morning. That idea of pressing on basically means this. It's to quickly and energetically and enthusiastically take action. Press on is that idea of something that you're doing. You know, when you're in the hike and it's the last few miles to go, when you're ready to press on, you're putting a little extra legwork to get into where you're needing to be. Or maybe it's towards the end of the day and you have a big thing that you're trying to finish, an assignment or a project. You press on, you keep going, you dig deep so that you can finish that thing that you're working on. And so Paul's saying, I press on. He pictures himself as not having arrived, but still actively and decisively running and straining in a race. Well, previously we had talked about this concept of legalism, and I think I have a slide, there we go, on legalism. So we gave this definition, we talked about it briefly. It's the belief that I can somehow be more before God by something that I do, whether that's circumcision, like what was happening with Paul, or following the law, or you name it. Man, I do my devotions every morning at 6 o'clock. If you do it more like me, you'd be somehow more acceptable. Whatever that would be, we somehow have this idea that we can somehow be more through our own effort and our own work. And Paul's going, it's not about that. Don't focus there. I want you to shift your focus and your thought and boast in what Christ has done for you. Boast in his righteousness that's available through faith, clinging to Christ. And so as we go back to this passage and look back in 3:12, Paul looks at these people and he says, listen, not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, I press on to make it my own. But the question is, as he's pressing on, as he's putting forth effort, the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what is he trying to press on toward? What is he trying to get? What is he trying to obtain? See, in the Greek, the nice thing that the English translators have done for us is that this, obtained this, or make it my own. That little pronoun there, this or it, that's not there in the Greek. It's assumed, but the English translators gave us something to kind of go on and say, I want you to know that there's something that we're trying to grasp, something that we're trying to obtain. But what is it? Well, different people have had different thoughts on this. We'll kind of go back and just stick to the text of what does the text have to say. In Philippians 3, 9, or 10, maybe it's this. Paul says that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Some people think that what he's actually trying to obtain is, I'm looking forward to this resurrection, that I may obtain that, that I might get there. And maybe it's the resurrection that he's actually looking forward to. Or maybe just previous to that, he's focusing on this, not that I would be found in a righteousness of my own, but a righteousness that comes through faith. Maybe what Paul is talking about, not that I've already obtained this righteousness, but I press on. I keep going. Maybe that's what he's trying to talk about. It's not something that he's obtained. Or maybe he's talking about everything that happens from verses 8 to 11. But I think there's even something more simple, and I'm just going to focus our attention here for just a moment. If we read through in Philippians 3, I want you to listen and see if you can tell what Paul is actually referencing. What is he trying to put attention to? Paul says this, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings and become like him in his death. That by any means possible, I may attain resurrection from the dead. Did you hear it? Did you hear what maybe Paul is going after? What is he trying to obtain? What is he going after and searching after? What is he pressing on and putting energy and effort to try to get? We can look easily in the passage and hear resurrection. We can hear righteousness. But ultimately, there's something really interesting, and this passage even helps us see that. What did Christ Jesus do to Paul? It says, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. It's that same word as obtain. It's just used with a little bit of emphasis on it. And it's that idea of grasping. He's saying that Christ Jesus has grasped. He's obtained me. He's got a hold on me. Now, what does that mean in this passage? Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. What? I press on. What? To what? To make it my own. What? Christ. To make Christ my own. He got a hold of me. Now I just want all of Christ. I just want to have a relationship with him. I want to, in his own words, I want to know Christ. And if that means suffering, I get to know Christ. If it means resurrection, I get to join in Christ. If I die, I get to learn about Christ, even in death, that I may know Christ. He wants more of Christ. But one of the beautiful things in this that is such an encouragement to you and I is that here's Paul. Think of this guy. He's 20 years approximately down the road from when he came to know Christ. This is a long time of knowing Jesus. He's an apostle. He's done amazing things for Jesus. But one of the things is he doesn't look at all of these accolades and all these things that he's done and go, listen, I've made it. I've arrived. There's a group of people coming in that are saying, listen, there's a way for you to arrive. And how that is you need to do these extra little things. And Paul goes, if I were to even do that, that's just foolishness. It's silly. Look at me right now. And he's grabbing these people almost as if he's talking to a loved family member and grabbing them on the shoulders and going, I haven't made it yet. I still don't know everything there is to know about Jesus. I'm still learning about who he is. I still want to know him more. I'm still on this exploration, this journey, and I'm getting to know this wonderful person who is rescued and has a grasp on me, and I now want to have a grasp on him. And Paul's encouraging these people. That should be a great encouragement to you and I. Because aren't there some days when you're going, oh man, I think I missed it. I think I blew it. And Paul's actually trying to bring this up because there's something that happens with legalism, not only in Philippians, but also in Galatians, that we as people, all of a sudden, we can start functioning on a perfectionism. Does that make sense? You ever struggle with perfectionism? We won't raise hands or anything because I'd have to raise mine too. But we have these views of ourselves that, man, I dropped the ball. I haven't done this. And Paul's actually trying to avoid this whole idea of perfectionism. And he's going, listen, I haven't made it yet. I haven't gotten to this point. I'm not there. I'm actually able, because of Christ and his righteousness, I can now look honestly at myself and go, you know what? I haven't got it yet. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to try to pretend like I have it all together. Does that ever happen in Christian circles? I pretend, I put on a smile, I act like I have things together. And Paul's going, I don't have to do that anymore. And I don't have to perform. I don't have to try to make higher hoops for me to jump through so other people will accept me more or God will somehow accept me more. I can just admit and come to Christ and go, I haven't got it together yet. And church, Philippians, Paul saying, I haven't arrived. I'm not there yet. But instead of this being something that maybe causes discouragement, or maybe to go, man, Paul can't get it, what's the point? He goes, I'm not there yet, but what do? I press on. I keep going after Jesus. I keep pressing on because I want to know him more. This whole concept of me not getting there yet doesn't mean I just stop. It doesn't mean that I just drop the ball and go, well, that was great. That was fun. I had this religious experience and now I just live my life. No, he's going, I want to know him more. There's more to learn, more to know. I'm on this adventure and I am loving it. And I don't have it all figured out. He presses on to make it his own. What? Grasping Christ, understanding, knowing, experiencing Christ. we might even put it in the modern day language, do we ever talk this way of get a grasp on something? Maybe if you talk to somebody that learns Spanish, boy, they have a good grasp of the Spanish language. Well, what does that mean? That Spanish language is something that they know better, that they're even able to utilize it to communicate with other people. And in a similar way, Paul's just saying, listen, I want to grasp Jesus. I want to know him in a way that this changes my life and others' lives too. Well, can we support this through other aspects of Philippians? Paul similarly expressed this thought throughout this book. His motto in Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Philippians 3:8, I count everything lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Philippians 3:8 again says that I may gain Christ. In 3:10 he says that I may know him, becoming like him in death. Paul wants to have a grasp on Jesus. And that's something that he is encouraging his listeners. I want you to have the same thing too. That Christ Jesus would be their own. Well, how? Now's a big question for this next portion. Let's look at 13 through, verse 13, actually. There we go. So what does Paul say? Brothers, I don't consider that I have made it my own. That idea of consider, this isn't like an emotional experience that Paul's having. Sometimes we have those emotional experiences where we can kind of get hard on ourselves, you know? Oh, I just don't feel like I love Jesus like I should. This isn't that. Paul's saying, I've thought through this. I've analyzed this. I've looked at my life, and I don't have this all together. I haven't got this figured out yet. But what do I do? One thing I do. And these things that are below it are actually supporting this one thing. So the one thing is actually in the next verse where he says, I press on. But to understand how is it that he's going to press on, we need to look at these concepts, forgetting what lies behind. So what does that mean? What is Paul getting at with forgetting with what lies behind? What is he trying to forget? Is this something that he's looking back earlier on in Philippians 3? He's talked about all of these different things that he's achieved. Man, I was born and circumcised on the eighth day. I'm of the tribe. He has the right heritage. He has the right achievements, the right accolades, all of these different things. Is that what he's going? I'm trying to forget that. Those were liabilities. Or is it something that he's actually looking at now that he's come to know Jesus? He's already talked about those things and gone, listen, I consider those things rubbish. Those things are worthless. He's already talked about how he feels about them. Or is now what he's trying to talk about is, listen, everything that I've done in these 20 years now since I've come to know Christ, I actually am trying to forget all of those different things because I don't want to rest on the laurels of things that I've achieved. There's accomplishments that I've made. There's things that I've done that it would be so easy for me to go, wow, you know what? I think I've got it together. I think I've done enough for Jesus. Now it's time for me to retire and go, you know, drink Mai Tais and at a Coco Cabana. This is going to be great. Paul doesn't want to do that. He goes, instead of falling back, I need to press on. And what's going to keep me from doing that is forgetting what happened behind me. Now, that's Paul's life. But either way, I would say this, that I've run into people, and I would say I even struggle the same thing, that we can sometimes hang our head low because of past failures, and I can't seem to rise above it. Things that have happened from your past, maybe there's things that have happened in your past before you knew the Lord that you're still hanging on to, you're still clinging to. And you haven't released that to Jesus to go, listen, it's not by my righteousness that I'm acceptable to God. It's by Jesus' righteousness. Maybe that's your struggle, something that you need to forget and drop. But I also know that I've run into people that can set their life on cruise control because of things that they've already accomplished. I don't need to do anything more with my faith. I already trusted Jesus when I was a kid. What else is there for me to do? And Paul's going, no, don't do that. That's not what I did. I came to know Jesus and I keep pressing on. I keep moving forward. This illustration that he's giving in this passage is a race. And so if we look at the image behind us, a person that runs in a race Would it be helpful for either of those guys to keep looking over his shoulder to watch the runner next to him? No. They're looking ahead. They have their eyes fixed on a goal. They're running this race, and Paul's looking at the same thing. He's going, I'm not getting distracted by what's going on around me. I'm going to forget about all of these other things. There's one thing that I'm trying to do. I'm trying to know Jesus and know him better. That's the thing, and I'm running this race. He's using an illustration and some of the language that he's going to be using here in just a moment, that of a runner. And it's going to require active and discipline of the heart. The next word that he comes into in this passage, he says, he strains forward to what lies ahead, and I love this. So not only in the past, but there's things, even he's moving beyond the present to actually attain something. That idea of straining forward, maybe we could use it of a marathon runner or the runner that we had behind us for just a little bit. Straining forward to what lies ahead, it's that racer that's rushing to a finish line. It's requiring an incredible amount of exertion and physical resources to do so. See, there's sometimes this common belief that happens in Christianity that we go, well, I just need to let go and let God. There are some things that I do agree that you need to do that. But our knowing Christ is not one of those things. Paul's saying, listen, I'm not trying to do this so I'm somehow more acceptable to God. I want to know this person who has taken hold of me. I want to know this person. And he's now chasing with reckless abandon and using tons of energy, trying to go after this person and know him more. And he's straining himself forward. Imagine that runner that's leaning forward to the finish line. It's that person that's expending all energy trying to get across to the finish line. Paul isn't looking over his shoulders at other racers that are going on. Instead, his gaze is fixed straight ahead of him. And how easy that is for some of us to watch what's happening. I think I'm doing better than so-and-so, but what does that do? It slows my pace. Instead, Paul's going, I'm not racing against anyone right now. My race is to know Jesus. That's what I'm going after. And so he's running. Running and straining toward the end. Well, where is he heading? In verse 14, he says, I press on toward the goal. The focus is on a finish line. He says, I press on to that goal. That goal, it's a marker, or many times it's used of archery, that it's something, if I had a bow, I'd be drawing that bow back, and if I want to hit the target, what am I fixing my gaze on? I'm fixing my gaze on that center of the dot that I'm trying to hit. I'm not looking around and going, wow, I wonder what's going on over here as people are ducking around me. My eyes are trained on the target. I'm fixed on a goal. And Paul's going, that's me. I'm fixed on this goal. I don't have it all together, but my eyes are trained on this end goal, and I'm running for it. It requires keeping one eye on the prize. Well, what is that prize? Philippians 1:23, maybe it's this. Paul says, I'm hard-pressed between staying here or going to be with the Lord. He says, my desire is to depart and be with Christ. That's far better. And I just want to have Christ. And if my life is taken from me, great, I'm going to see the Lord. Or maybe his focus is even on Philippians 3:20-21, where he says, our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. So maybe it's this concept of him dying and being in the presence of the Lord. Or maybe it's the Lord coming and returning. Maybe that's the prize that he's going, listen, I just want to know Jesus. And so if my life has to be taken, great, I get to go be with Jesus. If he comes back, great. I'm going to be the one that's standing there ready and going, yes, you're here. Praise God. Lifting his hands and cheering him on as he comes. He fixes his eye on the goal. See, if we were to go back, let's go back to the first picture of the runners. These guys are running in a race. Have you ever been in track where you're running and you're trying to get there? did track when I was younger, and I remember those years where I thought I was really fast, and then I remember there was this kid that always came along, and there was always somebody faster. Ah! And you run, and you're trying to barrel down the way. This is obviously hurtling, and this guy's barreling down the road. He's worked all of his life to try to have this race, and is he going out there just so he can go, I'd just like to maybe, you know, I don't know, not trip. No, the guy wants to win. The guy is running the race to try to do something. He's so committed that look what happens in the finish line. This is not photoshopped. This guy has a nickname. This happened May of this year, this last year. The guy was running along from Texas A&M and so wanted to win this race that he was willing to give all and sacrifice all to get across the finish line first. He dove. There wasn't a whole lot of comment from his competitor that he ended up beating afterwards. He wanted to win. He wanted the prize. He wanted that finish line. And he was willing to give everything to go for it. And that's what Paul's talking about in this whole concept. He's saying, listen, that's me. That's me. I'm diving for the finish line. Yeah, I'm sure there's people around me and they may have to deal with my sprawled out body when I hit the concrete and the pavement, but I'm going for the goal. I am racing for Jesus Christ. I want to know him. I want to experience him. I want others to experience Jesus Christ, and I'm going all out. I don't care if my body gets hurt in the process. I'm going. That's what Paul is talking about. Saw this picture and I was like, if there's anywhere a picture that would well describe what Paul's trying to describe here, that's it. That's that concept of press on. Is that our hearts this morning, church? Paul's sharing this with a group of people, not so they just go, oh, Paul, great job, man, go for it. Even though I'm sure they were. Paul shares this with a group of people because he goes, this is where life is. That's where life is. Of leaning and giving everything, crossing the finish line to know Christ. I want to know him and I want you to know him too. That's where life is. Don't get distracted by anything because there's a group of people that are coming in just a moment that he fears that's going to happen. It says in verse 18 that for many of whom I've often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. They've been distracted. They're no longer jumping like that. They're looking around them and going, I think I'm doing better in so-and-so. Or, who cares? I'm done with this. I can't be as good as Paul. They've thrown their hands up. They've given up the race. And Paul's going, that's not where life is. Where life is there. Go for the prize. Is he hoping to somehow earn this prize? No. If we go back and look at the passage again, in verse 14, Paul says this, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, he realized that there's been this call on his life. Jesus has taken hold of him. The passage that we just read about, that he's going to be coming back and he's going to be glorifying his body. It's something that he looks forward to, he can count on. He's not trying to earn this. He's just responding and going, look at what God's done, and I'm chasing after him. I'm going after him. I'm going all out. I press on. Well, some thoughts for us this morning as we think through this. Let's go to the next slide. I was thinking through various different aspects and what Paul is encouraging this group of people that he's concerned that eventually legalism is going to creep into the church. And what legalism is going to produce is this idea that we start watching what's happening around us. I start watching to see how you're doing and how you're doing. And I think I'm doing okay. I'm doing more than what they're doing. And it's this odd system that somehow I'm trying to do one up. Instead of me running this race and trying to know Jesus, I'm just trying to be better than the next person next to me. And Paul's going, that's not it. This whole idea, and I'll try to describe what's happened, is there's this life before you come to salvation, and then salvation occurs, and what happens at salvation is all of a sudden, at some point in time, Paul, you and I, if you trusted Christ, you realize that there's a difference between the holiness of God and me. Whatever gap that may be in your understanding, you realize that there is a gap, and you need the cross. And you go, yep, I needed Jesus. I couldn't do this on my own. And Paul admits this whole thing, and he says, listen, I could try to trust and have confidence in all my own human effort and all the things, that these accolades and these things I've achieved. And he's going, but it's worthless. It's pointless. And he says that I would be found in him having a righteousness that comes through Christ. And that's that idea of the cross. And what's supposed to happen as I continue to progress and grow, it's not that I just go, oh, great, I'm saved, and I sit down and don't do anything. This whole idea that Paul's getting across is that, listen, I progress, I keep going on. I want to grow, and how do I want to grow? I want to have a greater understanding of God's holiness and see him for how holy he truly is. That arrow that's going up on this illustration, it's not that God is somehow becoming more holy. He's infinitely holy. But I'm learning just how holy he is. And then the other thing that I'm realizing is that I have a greater understanding of, oh my goodness, I am a sinful person. I absolutely, desperately needed Jesus. And what do you see the cross doing as we keep going on in that progression? The cross, what does it do? Tell me. It gets bigger and gets bigger. That's my appreciation for what Jesus has done for me. I keep growing and going, oh wow, I definitely need Jesus. That's that understanding that Paul's going, I press on. I keep seeing a greater understanding of the holiness of God, my own sinfulness, other sinfulness, and I see a greater, greater need for Jesus dying on the cross for my sins. Because what happens is this group of people that are coming in are actually wanting to do the opposite of this. Let's see here. There we are. If you look at this next slide, there's salvation that happens. And there's this growing awareness of God's holiness, but on the top there's performance, and on the bottom there's pretending, and it's shrinking the cross. Well, how is this happening? As a person starts to get aware of the holiness of God, I somehow think, well, yeah, there's the holiness of God, but I think I can somehow do enough that God would accept me. And what is it doing? It's shrinking the cross. It doesn't actually give me an accurate understanding of the holiness of God. Instead, I'm going, I think I can actually achieve this. I think I can do this on my own. And Paul's looking at a group of people and going, don't. Beware of these people. However they come in, they're going to come in so many different ways. And they're going to try to tell you that if you just do this, you'll be okay. You can achieve the holiness that God desires of you. And Paul's going, don't. Don't listen to them. It's garbage. It's trash. It's shrinking the importance of what Jesus has done by dying on the cross. Or maybe another group of people are going to be going, you know what? I see there's my own sinfulness, but I'll tell you what. Have you ever seen this Josh guy over here? I mean, his sin over here is really bad. I'm not that bad. And I start pretending. I'm not saying that, by the way. Well, maybe I am. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, there we go. Ask my wife. That's always a good response. That we start pretending. And we start putting on masks in here at church. And instead of actually being real with one another, I go, oh, I love Jesus. I had, you know, my time with the Lord this morning. I'm doing great. I'm fantastic. Meanwhile, there's addiction that I'm slaving through. And there's other things going on in my life. I can't ever come out because I need to pretend to look like I have it together. And Paul's going, that's not the point. We go to this next slide, and this was the desire that Paul had. that the cross would be greater and greater in his own view. And he's saying, listen, I press on to know Jesus, to have a greater and greater appreciation of what Jesus has done. And if I try to base this on performance somehow, that I can somehow do things on my own to be more acceptable to God, I'm just performing. I'm shrinking the cross. And if I just throw caution to the wind and go, who cares? I'm not as bad as anybody else. It's not like I'm like sleeping around or murdering anybody. I'm pretending. It's just as bad. Instead, what Paul presents for us is actually an ability to be honest. To look at people and say, listen, guys, I don't have Jesus all figured out. I'm still trying to get a grasp on who he is and the significance of what he's done. But I do this because he's gotten a hold of me. And because of this, man, I'm forgetting what's behind me, whether it's things that I've done that I haven't released to Christ and sought his forgiveness for. I'm forgetting the things that maybe I've thought I've done that maybe give me, you know what, I think I've got things together. I forget those things. And I strain, I exert all effort just to know him. Well, how does that impact you and I? I think sometimes when we look at our Christianity, we forget and we take the form of something and misplace it with the function. What do I mean by that? That I think many times what happens with you and I is we go, man, I've read my Bible. And our hearts are bent this way. All the way from Old Testament to New Testament, you can watch this happen. I've read my Bible today. I've done this today. I'm good. That I base my relationship more on my performance than on what Jesus has done for me. And Paul's looking at a group of people and he's going, don't go that direction. See, the whole purpose of what you're doing, whether it's reading scripture, serving in whatever capacity, loving others, loving your neighbor, loving your wife, all of this, you realize why this is. It's not to somehow make you more before God or even just more before someone else. This is all so that we would know Jesus and know what he's like and grow in that understanding. Because the reality of what's going to happen is this. Sometime if I understand that my whole intent is to know Jesus, how does this help me? When I go to serve my wife or my kids or I work at my job and it's not noticed, it's not appreciated, I can still hang my head high. Why? I did this to know Jesus. I didn't do this for somehow saying thank you. I did this because I want to know Jesus better. That gives me strength to keep serving, strength to go through difficult times in my life. And Paul wants that himself, and he wants it for other people. We press on so that we may know him. Press on. Some of you have maybe set goals for yourself this year. Man, I want to read passages of scripture. If you haven't, there's still time. This is a great New Year's sermon. How are you going to grow in knowing Jesus and commit to it? For us as a family, we're trying to just really focus on meeting every night and just reading scripture together, going through Proverbs. And I'll tell you the truth, sometimes when we have our quiet times, it's a little more like herding cats. More when they were younger. But the point isn't perfection. The point isn't doing it perfectly. The point is what? To know Jesus. We pursue, we press on to know Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, help us to press on. Press on to know you. Thank you so much that our righteousness, having a right relationship with you, is not based on the things that I do. It's not based on the family I grew up in. It's not based on even the church specifically that I attend. That's not how I earn favor with you. The way that I'm made right with you is through Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. That he took a hold of us. And that through faith we go, oh man, this is what I need. Oh, Jesus, thank you for being a God who pursues lost people. God, help us to press on to know you. Amen.